Well, I've thought a great deal about the message that I'll be bringing to you this morning and the one tonight. I feel the Lord has given me some special power of the Holy Spirit to deal with these two subjects. The first one this morning is, How do we account for the existence of man? Where'd man come from? Well, there's just two explanations. Number one, God created him. So let's read about that in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis verse 1, chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So, God created man. That's the title of my message. God created man. In his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Now you be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So God created man. And then he created the woman. Let's read in chapter 2 of Genesis, chapter 2. Beginning with verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called there, every living creature, that was the name thereof. Talk about brilliance. Talk about leadership. God, he named every animal. It's a robin. That's a chickadee. That's a cardinal. That's a bear. Everything that Adam called them, that's what they have. That's the name they have right now. And God, the Lord God, but there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. God created the woman out of the man that they might be one. One flesh. He created the woman out of the man. And he took Adam's rib. He didn't take him a bone out of his head to rule over him. He took a rib out of his side to walk with him. That's his wife. She came from man. And she's created to walk with man. And he took the rib near his heart. So he'd love her. Always love her. Husbands, love your wives. Love not your wife, you don't love God. And he took that rib out of Adam's side under his arm that he might protect her. That's the woman. And all of those things are so true. Walk with him. Love him. Love her, protect her. And Adam, she doesn't rule over him. They walk together, but he's head of the woman. And the rib thereof, in verse 22, which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Therefore shall a man leave his mother and father, and cleave to his wife. They shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. God created man, and created a woman. And he created man marvelously, miraculously, wonderfully. God made him from the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. He became a living soul. Adam was not an infant. Adam was full grown with all of his faculties. He was made in the image of God. Adam was not a savage. I was talking about prehistoric man, and savage and so forth, cavemen. But Adam wasn't a savage. He named every one of these animals. Adam was not a savage. He was intelligent. He was beautiful. He was brilliant. He was made in the image of God. He was a fit companion for God. He was a fellow of God. And Adam was not a sinner. He was morally, materially, physically upright. Upright in body and mind because he expressed the image of God. And from this perfect estate, Adam fell. I don't know how long Adam lived in that perfect state. Nobody else knows. But Adam rejected the lordship and reign of God. Adam chose his own will. Two wills cannot exist together. Can't do it. What is the essence of sin? I will. That's the very essence of sin. I will. Turn to Isaiah 14. Let's read this. Isaiah 14, verse 12. This is the essence of sin. This is when Satan fell. This happened before Adam and Eve fell. This happened when Satan and the angels fell. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Here was Adam and Eve's problem. This is what happened to them. I will. I will. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit upon the mount of his congregation. And the sides of the north, I'll ascend above the clouds, heights of the clouds, and I'll be like God. That's how Satan tempted Eve. He said to her, said, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. She said, God said, we may eat of every tree but one. But he said, if you eat that one, you'll die. He said, you won't die. God knows that if you eat it, you will be like God. I will. I will. What's the essence of holiness? The essence of sin is I will. The essence of holiness is I will. Turn with me to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. Luke 22 verse 39. The essence of holiness is thy will, not my will, be done. Luke 22, verse 39. And the Lord Jesus came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's what happened to Adam. He resisted God's will, and he chose his own will. And we see the results. If you want to see the results of Adam's fall, you see the result of our fall, you turn to Ephesians 2, and we'll read it together. Ephesians chapter 2. We see the result of Adam's fall in our minds and in our bodies, right here in Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there. We had two confederates here. One is the course of this world, and the other is the prince of the power there. That's our biggest problem, the course of this world and Satan. Read on. The spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now that's what happened in the garden. That's the fall of Satan and the fall of man. But God created them and permitted them to fall. But now here's the second explanation. Why? Where did man come from? Well, here's the second explanation. The second explanation for the existence of man is a total rejection of God Almighty and His Word. It's called evolution. And it's not a fact, it's a theory. It's a supposition. It's a guess. The evolutionist seeks to explain the existence of man by leaving God out. Our definition of the explanation for the presence of man is God created him. But the evolutionist leaves God out and says that man is a product of an impersonal, godless universe. Here's what one man wrote about the existence of man. This is what he wrote. Listen to it. Somewhere, sometime, a bolt of lightning passed through the gaseous vapors and created a speck of protoplasm so small it couldn't be seen by the naked eye. And this protoplasm fell into the ocean and it began to grow. And out of nothing, something came. And after a few million years, out of something, an amoeba came. And then out of the amoeba, a fish came. And out of the fish, an amphibian came. And out of the amphibian, a reptile came. And out of the reptile, an ape came. And out of the ape, that's how we got man. Now, you know, people complain about the difficulty they have in believing the Genesis account of creation. But I'll tell you, when I read this, I gasped in amazement. And I think, how in the world can anyone accept such foolishness? Well, James said this. James, the writer of the book of James, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's the direction to look. That's the one to whom we should address. If we want wisdom, let's ask of God. Now, wisdom is more than just information. Wisdom is more than just knowledge. Wisdom is more than just getting a college degree. A person can have scores of degrees, a lot of information, and a whole lot of knowledge, and still be a fool. Darcy and I were eating at the Peaks of Otter a few weeks ago, having a nice meal, and Darcy looked over and said, I want you to read that fella's t-shirt. Everybody makes a statement about something on their t-shirt.
either back or front. Well, he had a T-shirt. He looked like a very intelligent man, had glasses on, sitting with a nice lady, and he just real sharp, but he had a T-shirt on. And on that T-shirt were these words, "I am dangerously overeducated." I believe it. I believe he believes in evolution. I'm dangerously overeducated. Let me tell you what wisdom is. Now, James says, if you want wisdom, ask God. But wisdom, here's what wisdom is. This is not for me. It's somebody that had a good grasp of things like this. Wisdom is the proper combination of truth and spirit. Can't have just knowledge of truth. You got to have truth and spirit. Wisdom is the proper combination of faith and obedience to believe God. Abraham believed God. Everything these great men in the scripture accomplished, they accomplished it by believing God. And wisdom is the proper combination of heart and mind. And wisdom is the proper combination of knowing God's word and yielding to it. Knowing God's word and yielding to it in the face of opposition from within or without. It's knowing God's word and yielding to it in the face of opposition, regardless of the frowns you meet with or the flattery. So I'm going to give you this morning 5 reasons why I believe God created man. I was going to give you 5 reasons for not believing in evolution, but I don't want to give a reason for what I don't believe. I want to give a reason for what I do believe. I believe God created man. Now here's reason number 1. In every way, a man is different from a beast. In every way. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 38. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased Him, and to every seed his own body. And all flesh is not the same flesh. Man doesn't have the same flesh that an animal has. There is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Man differs from an animal in blood. These physicians that hear this morning, they know this is true. Man is different from an animal in blood, in flesh, in cells, in mind, in soul, in spirit. Totally different. Totally different. Not only is man different from a beast, but man walks erect. There is no animal who stands up and walks erect. A man's countenance is totally different from a beast. The light of intelligence is in his eyes and his face. God said this. Let me quote it for you. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. God has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge, wisdom of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another reason, a man can invent. A man can reason. An animal cannot invent, cannot reason. An animal can be taught to obey, especially if you repeat it often. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. He can respond and obey by repetition. But would you try to teach geology to an ape? He runs through the forest, but he doesn't know. You know, he knows where to get something to eat. That's about all he knows about that geology, about that his surroundings. Can you teach astronomy to an eagle? He flies through the skies. His home is in the skies. that he couldn't give you any kind of reason at all for those skies being there. Can't teach arithmetic to a dog. But listen, the most primitive man, if he's taught, he can learn, he can reason, he can understand these things. You can take the simplest type of person and be, you can teach him. And he learned to reason, he'll understand, and even to invent. And let me tell you this. Man has a hand. Man has a hand. A miraculous, wonderful gift of God. A hand. No animal has a hand. A fish has a fin. The lion has a paw. The horse has a hoof. The birds have a claws. But only a man has a hand. And that marvelous gift of God enables him to handle a tool. Some of you men here are real artists with a tool. The hand enables him to operate in a delicate machinery. Show it to him. They even invented it. And understand it. The hand enables him to play a musical instrument. Tara plays that guitar. Sounds so good. And she writes the words which she understands and which we understand, and that music which we love. And the hand, I think about you men here, you are physicians. A man's hand enables him to perform delicate operations on the brain and on the body of their fellow man. No animal could ever have any part in anything like that. I read about in the Herald Leader about this young man had that ATM accident and his brain was messed up, and the doctors took the front part of his brain off, of his skull off, and worked on it. Only a man that God has created can do anything like that. My second reason why I believe God created man: evolution cannot account for the presence of life. Now listen to this. The world teems with life. Life is everywhere. Life is in every speck of dust. Life is in every drop of moisture. Life in the air. There's life in the sea. There's life in the ice. And life in the desert. There's life everywhere. But the evolutionist says this. The evolutionist says life came to our planet from a meteor. How did the life get on the meteor? Well, listen to this. Here's the explanation. Somewhere, sometimes, that bolt of lightning passed through the gaseous vapors and created life, which fell into the ocean and began to grow until finally a man walked out. But what did it say? Somewhere. Where did the where come from? Sometime. Where did the time come from? A bolt of lightning. Who made the lightning? Passed through the vapors. Gaseous vapors. Who made them? Where did they come from? Fell into the ocean. Now there's a question. Where did the ocean come from? And I want to know, was it fresh water or salt water? Every one of these things, somewhere, sometimes, a bolt of lightning, gaseous vapors fell into an ocean. Every time one of these things is mentioned, you run into a blank wall about existing material and life. It wasn't there till God said, "Let there be light." Let there be light. The third reason why I believe that God created man. Evolution has no explanation for the mind and the soul of men and women. It has no explanation for the non-material qualities
of men and women. Non-material quality. We're not just beasts. We're people.
How did man get his love for music? How did man get his love for the art? How did man get his love for beauty? How did man get his love for children? Your children, how you love your children. You'd lay down your life in a minute without question for one or all of them. Where did man get his conscience? Where did man get his loyalty? Loyal to his friends. Where did man get his grief? Where did man get his tears? Where did man get his sorrow? Where did man get his laughter? These all came from God. In the image of God. I got to tell you something amusing that I discovered years ago. You're like this. Just forgive me if I throw something in here that makes you laugh. Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree. And they were discussing things that are said to be. One said, "Now listen, you two. I've heard some things that can't be true. That man descended from our noble race. That's shocking. That's a terrible disgrace. They call it evolution and they make a big fuss. They say man descended from us. Well, man descended, the ornery cuss, but he didn't descend from us. Evolution believes that if you take a little two-cylinder gas minibike and put it in a room and leave it there 2 million years, that little minibike will fly out of there as a rocket going to the moon. Just give it time. It'll be a rusty minibike. That's all. Reason number 4. If man was formed from an animal, gradually or however you may say, and became a person, an animal to a person, when and where did the process stop? We've got recorded history now for about 6,000 years, counting the scriptures, and Moses and Abraham and all. Where did the process stop? Turn to Genesis 1. Let's listen to this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Genesis 1, verse 24. Now here's the thing you run up against having a man come from an ape. Listen to this. Genesis 1, verse 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after his kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God said it was good. Now we have horses, and we have Shetland ponies and Tennessee walkers and quarter horses and thoroughbred racers, but no horse ever produced a cow after his kind. We have dogs, poodle dogs and German shepherds and bulldogs and St. Bernard, but no dog ever produced a cat. Man can only come from a woman with a man after his kind. This destroys totally, completely the theory of evolution. Darcy and I were watering the flowers yesterday. And you've seen these praying mantises. Well, they're pretty good size. And this is a baby praying mantis. And his antenna looked like a thread. just tiny wee little thing. Yet it lives, it's life, and it'll grow. And God got that prayer manus from another one. Another one. Oh, here's my closing remark. Reason number five. Reason number five. Why I believe that God created man. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to read you starting with verse 5. Hebrews 10, verse 5. And this is our Lord Jesus Christ. This scripture occurs several times in other scriptures. In Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, our Lord and Savior, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, the Savior came. In the volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And when he saith, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then he said, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. The first is not spiritual, but it's physical. In that degree. And what he's talking about here, the first Adam died, sinned and died, and perished. The second man's the Lord from heaven. The first covenant God made with Adam and with Noah and with Abraham did away with those covenants. And he made a covenant with his son, everlasting covenant. And the first tabernacle was in the wilderness and is gone now. And as a second tabernacle, his body, he tabernacle among us. And the first priesthood, all of those priests, there were many of them, he's one. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. First mercy seat. God said, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. There I'll have communion with you. He took away that one and gave us a mercy seat. Christ is our propitiation, our mercy seat. He taketh away the first nature. That's born of a man and a woman, John C. Mahan and Atha Ali Mahan in 1926 in Fairfield, Alabama, flesh and blood. The Lord Jesus, 1954, give me a new nature. A new nature. The nature of Christ, the life of Christ, Holy Spirit. And he's going to take away this old nature. You know, not too long, too. He's going to take it away and put it in the ground. But I have a new nature. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. That first Adam, gone. The second Adam, live. And he taketh away, here's something else. He's got to take away the old heaven and the old earth. He's going to burn it to a crisp. He's going to burn it till it doesn't exist before. And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So my friend, just don't pay any attention to people who don't know what they're talking about. Pay attention to the scriptures. And look unto Christ. Look unto me and be your saved. All the ends of the earth. For I'm God and there's none else. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Look to Christ and not to your feelings. Not to your prayers. Not to your professions. Look to Christ. Faith is looking to Christ. Not to the name I wear. Or the knowledge of doctrine that I have is looking to Christ. Faith is looking to Christ, not to the law, not to his mother, not to his disciples, but to him. Faith is looking to Christ, not to my brethren, not to the best of them or the worst of them. Look to Christ. Faith is looking to Christ yesterday, today, and forever. It's looking to him at all times and never stop. I came to Jesus as I was,
weary and worn and sad. And I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. I looked to Jesus, and I found in Him my stars, my sun. And in His light, the light of life, I will walk till my traveling days are done. God created man. And He said, when He finished all His creation, He said, it's good. It's good. And in Christ, He takes away all these first things and gives us everything. Behold, I make all things new. I'm looking forward to that. I think we're going to sing in closing, "This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought." Dwayne will lead us.